Welcome back, everybody, to Two White Girls Talk About Their Childhood Trauma.
That's an alternate title to our podcast.
Yeah. We are also known as the No Logic... Wait, don't worry.
I don't even know what you were trying to say.
I was trying to make a funny joke. I try to be a funny person, but it just doesn't work.
No, I always get people telling me that you're funny, and I'm like, what about me?
Who says that?
My boss, Craig.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Shout out, Craig.
Yeah. Nice. So. Cool. Okay. I'm funny.
So what have you been spending your time doing, Portia?
Not playing The Sims.
Craig said to me the other day, he's like, do people still play The Sims? And I literally play it all the time.
Yeah, I've been, because I downloaded some new packs and stuff.
Oh my God, what'd you get?
Like maybe the Witches one and Tiny Living the like spooky one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And pets, cats and dogs.
Yeah.
And I've just been... I don't really, like, play with the characters as much, but I usually just build...
Oh, building's fun. Well,
extravagant houses.
I like seeing what people build. Our friend Anna's really, really good at building.
Is she?
Yeah, like, amazing at building.
Shout out Anna. What about you? What have you been up to?
Not much, really. Just studying and stuff. Although, actually, we wanted to bring up that it's Māori Language Week. Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. And we're trying to get better at speaking Māori. So
yeah,
we're going to try and incorporate like
small amounts of Māori words into the podcast.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, it's the indigenous language of New Zealand. It's what the indigenous people of New Zealand speak. So yeah, it's an official language of New Zealand, and it's super, super important to sort of keep that language alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just want to do our best to incorporate it and stuff. So obviously we'll explain what words mean. We won't just expect you to understand.
Yeah. 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 Last week's response
episode.
Why can't I talk?
Well, you need to learn because we do a podcast.
The response we got from last week's episode
was really good.
England. It was really good.
Yeah, it was fun doing that, like, less formal sort of thing.
Yeah, like, not having notes and stuff.
I know.
It was kind of good because we didn't have to, like, bother writing anything.
I know.
So I was like, okay, cool.
Like, please don't get that wrong idea. Like, we love doing this podcast, but sometimes we're just like, okay.
Like,
let's get to it.
It just feels like extra homework that we have to do. Although I can't really complain considering I don't have a job now.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's all. I did want to say, if anyone has episode topics that they'd like to see us cover, like, please get in touch and let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about, whether that's like a real, like, formal air quote episode where we do a lot of research, or just something you'd like us to discuss and sort of go over.
Yeah, or even like if you have any questions that you want us to answer on the podcast, we're happy to do that. Obviously, as we say in our disclaimer, which you will hear shortly,
that we're not
professionals, but we can try and give as much advice as possible and and help anybody
if
that we can.
Yeah. But so speaking of the handy disclaimer,
let's go.
Hey, while we are knowledgeable about this stuff because of our collective experiences, we aren't professionals. We research what we talk about, and our references are in the show notes. But please don't take anything we say as gospel. If you feel like you need support, you can reach out to us at thenocontactclub@gmail.com or see the links in the show notes. Thanks.
Today's episode is about trauma bonding.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've mentioned this a few times before in various episodes, but we've never actually like covered it fully.
No.
In a nutshell, it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome. Stockholm Syndrome, if you didn't know, is when people who are being held captive come to have feelings or trust and sometimes affection for the people who have captured them.
Yeah.
It's basically a survival strategy in a way, and it can also occur in a relationship with a narcissist.
Yeah. Just as an aside, Stockholm Syndrome, if you don't already know, it was named after this like real life situation where a group of hostages actually became emotionally attached to their kidnappers. It's actually a really, really good story. Like, I've listened to a couple of podcast episodes on it. It's really interesting.
It is really interesting, eh? Wasn't it a bank one?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like that I think
one of them ended up marrying or wanting to marry one of the
And didn't they get someone to come out of prison to help them?
Yeah, it's such a good story.
Like the people who had broken into the bank.
They were like, oh, I need this person, get him out of prison.
To help me escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nuts. But yeah, you guys should look it up. So when we compare Stockholm syndrome with trauma bonding, they do look really similar.
Yeah.
Although one of the key differences, I think, is that trauma bonding is more of a descriptor for the type of attachment that people develop when trauma is caused over and over again by that same person, usually a parent or a partner. Yeah. But Stockholm syndrome, on the other hand, is usually something that occurs when it is put into, when someone is put into a really sudden life-threatening situation at the hands of, you know, an abuser or a kidnapper. And trauma bonding, sorry, whereas trauma bonding is something that occurs between a victim and an aggressor. And you have those sort of repetitive cycles of abuse.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to preface this with is a reference to codependency in line with trauma bonding.
Mm.
We've talked about codependency a lot, but often when you see people in a relationship with a narcissist or having a narcissistic parent or sibling, whatever, you'll see codependency issues popping up alongside this trauma bond, because most narcissists target people with these issues to begin with.
Yeah. So
you're essentially more susceptible to this trauma bonding when you have that those codependency issues, yeah, as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when the trauma bond begins to develop, often the victim will feel cared for, loved, you know, but it's sort of that feeling of love or protection fades over time into this emotional and sometimes physical roller coaster.
Yeah. This ties in a lot with our previous episodes, actually, on the narcissistic cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
You're sent into this whirlwind of feeling great, feeling love, everything's perfect, you know, that first stage of idealization.
Yeah.
Then gradually, or all of a sudden, the abuse begins to take over.
Yeah.
That abusive behavior begins to take the front seat rather than all the happy, lovely feelings.
And I guess narcissists, you know, they learn through their own behavior and then the reactions they get from you and from that behavior, which approach will best give them that supply that they want.
Yeah.
And one of the best ways to ensure that supply continues is to make sure that you, as the victim, continue to return or stay put during those bad times.
Yeah, this is where that trauma bond is key, you know, that the conditioning the narcissist puts you as the victim through is this repetitive cycle of idealization and devaluation, and it's keeping you in this constant loop where you feel loved and cared for, then that love is taken away by the narcissist, and then the narcissist returns it again.
Yep.
This is, it isn't something that's easy to spot either.
No, I don't know if you can hear the rain's just started up outside, but it's like an ASMR, like, rain sounds podcast. No, so you'll often have the cycle happening without you even realizing. Mm. And, you know, it's quite often you as the victim who believes they're at fault and deserve that devaluation.
Yeah.
Which then in turn makes it so much easier for that narcissist to pull you back in.
Exactly. It's this, like, up and down, this giving a little and then taking it away over and over again. It's this intermittent reinforcement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the abuser has this pattern of cruel or mean treatment mixed in with random moments of love and affection. So you're ultimately being rewarded with this love after the abuse has taken place.
Yeah, so it's like when parents smack their children but say they're doing it out of love. It delivers this message of, like, you know, if you can withstand the abuse, you'll also receive kind words and a present afterwards, you know?
Mm. This back and forth of love and hate ends up causing you to perpetually seek the abuser's approval, you know? Yeah, you're waiting for any crumbs of occasional love and good behavior that they might drop, you know? You're aware in the back of your mind that there was a period where things were great and you're hoping to return from that.
Yeah, I think this is especially significant when you're talking about children growing up with a narcissistic parent. Because as a child, your brain is still physically developing.
Yeah, you're more reliant on other people.
Exactly. And children are so incredibly permeable and influenced by those raising them. So creating this type of trauma bond with children is very, very easy to do. And often it sticks with you well into adulthood.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if we didn't have our eyes open to what narcissism is in the first place and began to explore or have someone explain to us what the dynamics involved with having a narcissistic parent, potentially all of us would probably still be stuck in that position of, you know, constantly being hooked into this game that our mum played. Like, what do you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you kind of got the ball rolling in that way, and that if you hadn't come to that realization, and I mean, we've said this before, but if you hadn't come to it and broken away and gone no contact and started to do that healing and learning for yourself, Bridie and I probably wouldn't have either. Like,
yeah, because
we probably wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's so shocking to think that people who are stuck in this trauma bond can be stuck in it until they die.
Yeah.
Until they're adults.
And never realize that they're stuck in it.
Yeah, especially with parents, I think, because there's such a stigma around going no contact with parents or, you know, what is it called, estrangement?
Yeah.
Like estrangement from your parents or whatever. There's such a taboo around it. Oh, that it's like 100%. You just think that that's just family. We argue all the time. It's just family.
Yeah. But I'd actually like to do an episode on that, that whole people's reactions to you saying, oh, no, I don't talk to my mother. I don't talk to my father because it's,
we've mentioned it, like, previously. You can get such, like, crazy aggressive reactions.
But, yeah, so if we kind of look at it from a different perspective, it's almost this idea that people inherently want to see good in others. You know, you're always looking for that hope, particularly in a situation that's abusive or toxic, and especially if it's a parent. You know, you don't want them to be this horrible person. So you see these small doses of kindness that the narcissist is giving you, even if it only serves the abuser, and automatically you see the narcissist as having this positive trait. So suddenly you've gone from this shitty time and switched to believing that the narcissist isn't all bad, air quotes. It's like you kind of give them credit for not abusing you, you know?
Yeah, it's like you give them credit for doing the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. When realistically, if this was a stranger on the street and they treated you that way, you would rule them out as toxic.
Exactly.
Mean, you know,
yeah.
You wouldn't give them the time of day.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good example of how the trauma bond works, because it creates a sense of loyalty to the narcissist so that they can get away with shitty behavior because they know that you're going to stick around just waiting for those few crumbs of kindness.
Yeah. Okay. So let's run over some of the signs of trauma bonding.
Good idea.
Now, there's a lot more to this than what we're covering.
Yeah.
And not everyone will have the same signs, or there may be other things going on on top of this trauma bonding or whatever.
Yeah, like we've mentioned and like we say in our disclaimer, we're not professionals. And while we research everything, you know, we definitely recommend going and talking to a medical professional, a therapist, something like that, if, especially if you identify with anything we say in this podcast as a whole as well.
Yeah. I guess if you're this far into our episodes, you're most likely identify with a few things.
Go to therapy. I guess the main sign that you're suffering from a trauma bond is if you know, or maybe you can see, that someone is abusive or manipulative, but you just can't seem to let go.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a biggie. If you find yourself engaging in like self-blame or negative self-talk or ruminating over certain events or arguments, it's definitely a sign of
trauma. There's also that feeling of walking on eggshells, like trying to gauge how that narcissist feels and monitoring your behavior to try and manage their moods.
I think that's
we used to do that a lot with mom.
We used to do it a lot. You used to have to bite your tongue all the time. I mean, I was always terrible at biting my tongue. I used to get into so many arguments.
Takes a toll on you when you're walking on eggshells like that and holding your breath.
But to be honest, when we're talking about walking on eggshells, I think that there's been like when I was younger, there was definitely a period of time where people were walking on eggshells around me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I would blow up so easily.
So people were aware of that
and they were trying to avoid that and walk on eggshells around me.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad, well, hopefully people don't do it now.
Yeah, yeah.
but like, because I was so explosive back then, especially, you know, tied in with mum, it was very much like walking on eggshells.
So often you'll also keep their bad behavior a secret as well, or you'll defend their shitty actions after an event has happened.
Another one, and if you don't already know, I'm talking to myself here, is self-sabotaging behavior. This is a huge one for me, but essentially you engage in behavior that is self-sabotaging, like self-harm, potentially, you know, drug abuse or alcohol. You basically use any way you can to dissociate and distance yourself from the upset and often the shame caused by your abuser.
Yeah, so you'll often lower your standards or change your behaviors, maybe your appearance, your personality, so you can try and meet the narcissist's needs more readily.
Yeah, I think a really common theme with these is the need for validation.
Yeah.
The nature of the trauma bond is this need for validation from the narcissist. It's this addictive back and forth of validation and invalidation that creates this, really tight trauma bond.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main things that anyone should take away from this episode is awareness.
Yeah.
Like, allowing yourself to recognize these behaviors in your own relationship is honestly the first step to breaking away from it.
Yeah, I think just being aware of this trauma bond allows you to slowly move away from needing to feel special or validated by the narcissist. You can start to undo some of the ties that you have to them.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know that those ties are there,
yeah, you can't. Exactly.
Yeah.
And growing up with a narcissist or having a relationship with one gives you this warped sense of what love is. Mm. And the trauma bond just solidifies that.
Yeah.
You know, you have no other frame of reference. And often you end up believing that you deserve the mistreatment.
Which you definitely do not.
No, not at all. Yeah. So, you know, you deserve healthy relationships that allow you to grow and thrive and not leave you feeling exhausted and mistreated.
Yeah. And I'd just like to give everyone a reminder. If someone does something terrible or hurtful to you, but they apologize and say they will change, that does not mean they are owed your forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You do not have to forgive them. Yeah. It's up to you as the victim in the situation to decide who you will forgive and who you will not. I see so many people saying you have to forgive your abuser to move on. And that's cool if that's what you want to do. But please remember, you don't have to forgive your abuser. Even if it's your mum, even if it's your dad, even if it's your wife, your husband, your sister, your brother, your best friend, it doesn't matter. You don't have to forgive.
Yeah, and people will try and tell you that you do, but you 100% do not.
Mm.
You know, you deserve these happy, healthy relationships with boundaries and respect and fun, you know. If you're listening to this and thinking that you recognize some of these behaviors in any of your relationships, or maybe you're starting to pull away from a narcissist, keep at it.
Mm.
Kia kaha, which means like be strong. Don't allow anyone to guilt you into thinking that you need to forgive someone who has abused you.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we've ranted really fast and a lot in this episode. I kind of thought we would have more to add to it, but
I think it's good though.
I think this is just sort of like a
basic kind of
like a subset of our cycle of abuse series that we did in the previous episodes, because it kind of ties into a lot of what we just talked about, that cycle of idealization and devaluation.
I wanted to say really quickly, please let us know if the sound is really bad. Like, we're still experimenting with different places and with blankets over our head. Eventually we'll get like decent mics,
but we don't have a recording booth at the moment.
No, so
but I mean, if you've listened this far,
Thank you.
First episode to now, I think the sound should be a little bit better.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah.
We can't help it yet. I mean, if you guys want to send us some cash so we can buy some really nice
My
speakers.
Address is...
No. Yeah. I don't have a job, so anything will help. No, I'm joking.
So as always, you guys can contact us. So our email is thenocontactclub@gmail.com. Our Instagram is @thenocontactclub, and we're the No Contact Club on Facebook too.
Yeah, go and check us out. We post in there and come say hi, and you can chat to us. And again, send us topic ideas. If you guys want us to talk about something, if you want to do like an agony aunt. Is it agony aunt?
Yeah, we should do an agony aunt.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I would really love to do an agony
aunt. Let us know if you guys think that's a good idea.
Yeah, because we could just do like little mini episodes where we respond to people's emails.
That's a good idea.
Little agony aunt emails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
And stay classy.